Chapter 13. Kendall. I stood in front of the door leading to Commons, wondering if I would be able to do this. This would be the first time I spoke to Nero since arranging the intervention at the lake. Quinn told me that he had delivered my message and that Nero accepted it. I could tell that he had because he hadn't reached out to me since then, though I was half expecting that he would. I figured that it would be to thank me. I didn't need the gratitude. It was enough to know that it had helped, but I guess I thought he wouldn't be able to stop himself. There was also a part of me that hoped he wouldn't respect my request. Maybe it was the romantic in me, but I was partially hoping he would refuse to keep things professional and would sweep me off my feet. In my heart, I knew that would be the worst possible decision he could make. I could help him so much more in this capacity. So, in the end, I guess I'm glad he didn't. But didn't every boy want to feel wanted so badly that someone says, "The hell with all of the rules, I'll have you no matter what"? I can admit that I am such a boy, even if I know it's for the best that he didn't. Taking a final deep breath, I pushed open the large metal door and entered the building. Ascending the stairs, I looked around at the tables. We had agreed to grab dinner at the cafe and eat it while doing what would become our twice-a-month counseling session. I tried to come up with the most boring arrangement possible, and again, to my surprise, Nero had agreed. Spotting him as he spotted me, I pointed towards the cafe, telling him I would grab my food. Luckily, he already had a sandwich in front of him. It would allow him to hold the table. They were hard to find at this hour. I guess that meant that he had arrived a little early. Charging my food to my meal plan, I took my tray to his table and settled myself across the two-top from him. I tried not to think about how beautiful he was. I also tried not to think about what it was like making love to him. I tried not to think about what it felt like as he pushed into me. This was going to be harder than I thought. "Hi," I said awkwardly. "Hi," he said without his usual charming smile. I knew I was supposed to be the one driving this conversation, but it had never been our dynamic. He was always the one trying to get me to talk. Everything seemed out of whack between us now, but I was going to figure out how to make this work. "So, Quinn said that things went well by the lake. Would you agree with that?"
"Would I agree?"
"Sure." The silence drew out when he didn't say anymore. "Good. Do you want to share anything from the experience?"
"Like what?"
"Anything that stands out? Anything that might be helpful for me to know?" Nero thought for a second.
"I told everyone the story I told you about being my landlord's enforcer."
"Really? And how did that go over?"
"Pretty good. They thanked me for sharing it. There were a few people there who I'd been a real dick to in high school, and even they thanked me."
I looked at him confused. How many people were there?
20? 25?
I tried not to react. I had told Quinn that it was important to get as many people there as he could, but I was picturing 6 or 7. 20 was an army. I would have given anything to see everyone or even be there. After all, I had been the one to arrange it for the man I love. "That's excellent. I'm happy it was so successful. What about practice? How has that been going?" Nero gave me a rundown of the trivial things he had been dealing with and then looked at me for my next question. The truth was that I didn't have anything else to ask him. I looked down at my half-eaten sandwich and wondered if I should wrap it up and take it to go.
"What about you?" Nero asked me. "How have you been? Or am I not supposed to ask? I'm not sure what the rules are."
I thought about that. I was making things up as I went along, so I didn't know what the rules were either. "No, you can ask," I said with a tight-lipped smile.
"Then how have you been?"
I considered what I should tell him. I certainly couldn't say how much I had been struggling since requesting we keep things professional. He certainly didn't have to hear about that. "Oh, I saw someone unexpected recently."
"Who's that?"
"Evan Carter." As soon as I said the name, Nero's body tensed. He went from soft puppy dog to fearsome protector in an instant. "Don't worry, it was all good.
It was good? How?
He actually found me on campus.
I told him if he came looking for you.
No, Nero. Trust me. It was a good thing. Turns out, the reason he was so awful to me in high school was because he's gay too, and I was forcing him to confront his sexuality before he was ready. He actually fell to his knees and begged my forgiveness. And it wasn't because he was scared of you. He felt that bad about it.
The fact that you're smiling tells me that you got a kick out of it, Nero observed.
Am I smiling?
A lot.
I was smiling. Oh, well, the experience was everything I dreamed would happen.
I thought beating the crap out of him was everything you dreamed of.
Before I knew that your beating him up was an option, him on his knees begging for forgiveness was the dream. But I don't think he would have done that if you hadn't balanced the scales a little. So, thank you again for that.
It feels good knowing I was able to play at least a small part in your happiness, he said, rediscovering his smile, as bittersweet as it was.
You've played a large part in it, I admitted vulnerably.
Maybe I can again, he asked, putting his heart in his hands. God, did I want to say yes, but instead, I averted my eyes. Of course, he said, suddenly collecting his stuff. Was there anything else that we needed to discuss?
No. As long as everything's going well with you, and you haven't felt any impulses to lash out?
I haven't. And I don't think I've ever been so clear about what I want and how to get it.
Oh. What is it that you want? Nero looked at me and got up.
You said that we aren't allowed to talk about it,
he told me before giving me a steely gaze, then walking away.
I wasn't sure what he meant by that. What did I say that we weren't allowed to talk about?
Although there were things that it was clear to me we should let go of, I didn't remember placing any limits on our discussions. I hadn't realized how hard it would be watching him walk away from me, but it was. The image of his backside stuck with me. Someone might guess it was because of his incredibly tight ass, but it was more than that. His backside meant that he was leaving me. And the thought of being without him always sent painful throbs through my body. As the days and weeks passed, things didn't get much easier. He and I met every other week for our sessions, and to his credit, Nero kept them as professional as our first. The truth was that being with him showed me how lonely my life had been before I had met him. Sure, Corey was great. And helping him come to grips with his new bisexual identity was fulfilling, but with Nero had come a family and an interesting new best friend who I desperately wanted to see again. So, when I got a text from Quinn inviting me to dinner, I couldn't accept it fast enough. How have you been? I asked as we sat down at the Thai restaurant.
Good. I think we're completely moved in. Finally.
Have you been heading up more often?
Unfortunately not. I was up last weekend, but I can't this weekend. By the way, we're doing a game night at my place on either Saturday or Sunday night. Would you like to come?
I didn't have to think about it. Of course I did. Is Nero gonna be there?
He has an away game this weekend, so probably not. But it's an important game for him, so depending on which day we do it, we might have it on in the background.
I thought about it. I missed hanging out with Quinn. Nearly as much as I missed being with Nero. At least I got to talk to Nero every 2 weeks. Quinn had disappeared from my life. I understood. I had drawn a line in the sand, and Nero was his future brother-in-law. But the idea of spending time with him while watching Nero do what he did best was nearly irresistible. Can I let you know?
Sure, Quinn said, falling silent.
He looked disappointed.
It's not that I don't want to come. I just don't know if I should. You know, I once chose my work over Cage.
What do you mean?
I grew up feeling a lot of pressure to do the right thing. For me, the right thing was to change the world with my work. To me, Cage and Snowtip Falls didn't fit into that picture. So I chose work over Cage.
What changed?
Someone wiser than me talked me out of it.
You know our situations are different, right?
Of course. You believe that you have to give up being with him because it's the only way you can help him.
It is. It is a long-accepted rule in therapy that you can't have a personal relationship with the person you're trying to help.
But you're not his therapist. Call it whatever you want. I'm the one who will do whatever it takes to help him be happy. Have you considered that the happiest he's ever been was when he was with you? I saw the way he was when the two of you were together. I've never seen him happier. I thought back to our time in Snowtip Falls. I had to agree with Quinn. Not only was that weekend the happiest I had ever seen Nero, but it was also the happiest I had ever been. I really want to help him get everything he's ever wanted, Quinn. What if everything he ever wanted was you? I wanted to believe what Quinn was suggesting. I think we both know how much football means to him. Quinn looked away and nodded his head in thought. Do you love him, Kendall? What? I'm saying all these things, but I guess it wouldn't matter if you didn't love him. What did I tell him? Of course I loved Nero. I loved him so much I ached thinking about him. Knowing that I have an appointment to see him is what gets me out of bed in the morning. It doesn't matter how far in the future it is. The fact that I will eventually get to see him allows me to breathe. Yeah, I love him. The same wise man once told me that when you're lucky enough to find love, you have to choose it. Haven't I, though? I've chosen his happiness over my own. Have you? Or are you running from it? You haven't told me much about your past, but is it possible that you've been hurt before and you're using professional distance as a way not to be hurt again? I tried not to feel what Quinn was saying, but the dagger of his words sank deep. I had been hurt before. Evan Carter had filled my childhood with nothing but pain and mistrust. The fog of it was so thick I could barely see beyond it. So, was Quinn right? Was I using professional distance as a way of protecting myself from getting hurt again? Was I just scared? Although Quinn changed the topic, I thought about what he had said for the rest of the night. When we were about to leave, he reminded me about game night. You said Nero won't be there? He has a big away game that weekend. I don't think he could be there even if he wanted to. Would you not come if he was? I don't know. But I guess it doesn't matter since he won't be. Text me when it is. I'll try to make it, I said, leaving myself some wiggle room to change my mind. Quinn wasn't shy about expressing his joy. I'm glad. You haven't met my roommate Lou yet. He's going to be there. Will Titus? I asked, remembering what Nero had told me about Titus and Quinn's roommate. Quinn laughed. Oh, right. You know about the two of them. I don't know why those two won't just get together and get it over with. Lou likes him too? Who can tell with that one? I think he's too busy trying to figure out what he's missing out on to realize what he has. So much drama. I feel like I'm living in a gay soap opera, he said with a smirk. Well, I'm ready for my close-up, I said, knowing the role I was playing. I didn't mean you. Yeah, you did. And that's fine. I get it. I just think you two could be happy together. Maybe we could be, I admitted, realizing it for the first time. But how about we start with game night? I said with a smile. By the time I left Quinn, I was in a really good mood. I had missed him a lot. I couldn't wait to reconnect with everyone I had met through him and Nero. However, a strange thing happened. As soon as I thought about Nero and me being together, I felt a clench in my chest. I hadn't felt this before. Of course, I had also never truly considered the two of us being together. Sure, there was hardly a day when I didn't imagine having sex with him. I also thought about the warmth and safety I felt lying in his arms. But opening up and showing him my heart, making myself vulnerable, giving him the power to hurt me like the others had. Maybe I had put distance between Nero and me out of fear. If that was the case, could I change things even if I wanted to? Not only would I have to fight my own resistance, but hadn't I succeeded at pushing him away? Hadn't Nero moved on? Realizing that I might have lost him for good sent a wave of fire through me. I had really messed things up. What was I supposed to do now? When I was back in my room, I stared at my phone. I wanted to call Nero. I needed to hear his voice. Could I, though? On the other hand, why shouldn't I? I found his number and was about to dial it. I stopped. I couldn't. It was too much. It would be too scary. Good luck on your game this weekend, I texted him instead. His reply came immediately. Thanks, it's a big one. You're gonna crush it. I know you will. There was a pause. If you want, I'll win it for you, he eventually wrote. I stared at the words. How was I supposed to respond to that? As a counselor, I knew what I should say. I should tell him that he should win it for himself. But I didn't want to. Win it for me, I wrote back before I realized what I was writing. Anything for you, he replied, followed by a smiley face that melted my heart. My skin tingled rereading his words. My insides were a tornado of sensations. Fear, joy, apprehension. I wanted to escape into the night and run to him. I felt everything. This was what I had been afraid of from the moment I met him. What if he pushed me away now? How would I survive it with my defenses down? I don't think I could. What was I supposed to do? I didn't sleep for a second that night. I could barely sleep the night after that. I was exhausted, and yet I wasn't tired. It was like I had been chugging Red Bulls. My heart pounded like it would explode. The only thing that gave it any relief was when Quinn texted telling me game night would be Sunday. Are we gonna watch Nero's game? Isn't that Saturday? Quinn didn't write back immediately. We all promised not to watch it until game night Sunday. Do you promise? I didn't know how to respond. I wasn't a football fan, but I was a fan of Nero. Hadn't he said he was going to win the game for me? Shouldn't I at least congratulate him if he wins? Does Nero know you all are waiting to watch it? Yes, and I told him that you would be joining us. So, do you promise? As long as he knows. He does. Okay, I'll avoid any news about it until game night. I thought about Nero from the moment I woke up Saturday morning to when I thought the game would have ended. Did you hear about your friend's football game? Corey said when he returned to our room. No, don't tell me. I'm gonna watch it tomorrow with Quinn and Nero's friends. Since when are you into football? I'm not. He stared at me weirdly before continuing. It was just an interesting game, that's all. It was interesting even though you're not into football? I guess, he said hesitantly. By the way, you're probably not gonna want to leave this room if you don't want to hear anything about it. Seriously? Yeah. Well, luckily, my only plan is to grab something to eat at the cafe. You're not gonna want to do that either. But luckily, I'm going there now. Do you want me to bring you something back? Sure? Okay, what happened at this game? Corey stared at me with his eyes sparkling. Seriously? It was nothing. You'll see it tomorrow. It'll probably be more fun to find out that way. I'll bring you back something, he said, dropping off his stuff and heading back out. Although he hadn't meant to say, I was now pretty sure that East Tennessee had won. He knew how I felt about Nero. There was no way he would smile that much if the guy I was in love with had lost. Watching Netflix on my phone, all I wanted to do was text Nero. Resisting was the hardest thing I ever had to do. The only thing that made it bearable was knowing he hadn't texted me. Since he knew I wouldn't be watching it, he knew he had to text me if he wanted me to know. When Corey came back with my food, he was acting completely differently. He no longer seemed like he was holding in a secret. At the same time, he was clearly avoiding my eyes. Why was he being so weird? The next morning, things weren't that different. It was nice having him get my food for me again, though. It wasn't like I loved sitting awkwardly by myself in the cafeteria. Whatever it took for me to not have to deal with that, I was fine with. Emerging from my room only to shower, when the time came, I got ready for game night and headed out. Maybe I was being paranoid, but it felt like people were looking at me. Why would people be looking at me? Ignoring it, I put my head down and headed to Quinn's. At least when I got there, everyone was acting normally. I wanted to tell them about how weird Corey was being, but I was afraid to spoil the game's outcome. So instead, I found a seat next to Quinn and enjoyed the moment. Are we going to play Wavelength or watch the game? If we're playing Wavelength, Lou and I will kick your asses, Titus announced with a beaming smile. I turned to the puckish-looking guy sitting next to Titus. I don't think we've met. Kendall, I said, offering my hand. Lou, he said with a smile. Don't even think about it, Lou, Quinn said quickly. What? I was saying hello. Sure you were. Seriously, who do you all think I am? He asked, genuinely offended. Think? Quinn asked with a smile. Lou looked at him, shocked. Don't worry, Lou. I have your back, Titus said, throwing his arm around him and giving Quinn a disapproving look. At least someone does, he said, hurt. Quinn looked at me and mouthed the word drama. I chuckled. When Titus and Lou became lost in conversation, I turned to Quinn and whispered, Isn't Titus on the football team? He got cut a couple of games ago. Don't ask him about it. It's still a sensitive topic. I was going to ask about Nero's team when Quinn's intercom buzzed as if using Morse code. That's Cage, Quinn said, getting up and buzzing him in. Everyone's here, he said into the intercom before opening the living room door. Cage entered carrying a couple of pizzas. Quinn kissed him. You said you were bringing a surprise. What is it? Quinn asked, looking at him confused. Cage looked up at me and then at the others. One of the pizzas is pineapple. Titus laughed. How is that a surprise? You bring that every time. Quinn looked at Titus. It's a surprise because I had gently suggested that he switch it to something else. Did you, baby? I'm so sorry about that. I forgot. Lou laughed. Sure you did. The next thing you're gonna say is that you conveniently forgot to bring the hot friend you keep talking about.
Who, Claude? Was I supposed to invite him?
Cage asked, surveying the room. Lou gave Cage the side eye. I'm gonna forgive you because you're cute. I looked over at Titus. He still had his usual smile, but it was much dimmer and he was looking away. Anyway, how about we start the football game? I'll set up Wavelength. I'll help you, I told Quinn, already having a good time. Quinn turned on the TV. As soon as he did, the announcer mentioned Nero. I was taken by surprise.
He's breaking records as a freshman and is nearly a sure thing to enter the draft this year, the gray-haired, burly man said. Entering the draft and being picked high enough to get playing time on an NFL team are two different things, the younger, more athletic announcer replied.
Well, we'll see what he has today. He is just one of many young hopefuls wanting tonight's game to be their introduction onto the national stage.
So this is a really important game for Nero, I asked Quinn, not having realized how big of a game it was. It's his first chance at getting national attention. If he enters the draft, he'll still have to go through tryouts where they'll see how fast he runs and all of that. But if he plays well here, he'll show everyone how he performs under pressure. That counts a lot, Quinn explained. Once Quinn told me that, I was hooked. Sure, I helped set up and then played the board game, but most of my focus was on the TV. When the teams exited the tunnels, my heart thumped. That's him! It's Nero! I told everyone when they showed him warming up on the sidelines. My God, was he beautiful! I had seen him in his football uniform, but only from the nosebleed seats of the university stadium. Seeing him close up, I had to bend over to hide how happy I was. The first time he stepped onto the field, I could barely breathe, I was so nervous. It didn't take long for him to get into position and fall back. In a second, he was running with the ball in his hand. I hadn't even seen the handoff from the quarterback. And running into a wave of 200-pound men, somehow he found a crack. Oh my God, I said, springing to my feet. He's got it! He's got it! I said as he spun past one defender after another. Eventually, he was running in an open field. He passed the 20-yard line, then the 10. There was only one defender left in view. That one was sure to take Nero down before he reached the goal line. The opponent dove. Nero jumped. As if he were an acrobat, Nero flipped over his opponent's head and somersaulted into the end zone. It was the most amazing thing I had ever seen. He did it! I screamed with excitement. Everyone around me cheered. I had never felt more elated. I felt drunk without having had a drink.
I wanted more of what I had just seen. Having avoided football my whole life, I hadn't realized how thrilling it could be. There was no way I could pay attention to the board game after that. The only two people who could were Titus and Lou. Eventually, they started playing a game on their own. The rest of us sat glued to the TV as if our lives depended on it. I wondered how much of mine did. Nero had said that he would win this game for me. What would it mean if he won it? What would happen if he got drafted? Would that mean he would have to move? And would he want to be with a guy while playing professional football? It wasn't exactly the most open-minded sport. Although they were all legitimate concerns, I didn't have time to think about them now. Because as amazing as the first play of the game was, there were a lot more that followed. The football didn't always end up in Nero's hands, but when it did, it was an automatic touchdown. It was the most incredible thing I had ever seen. I wasn't alone. The announcers couldn't stop talking about it. They called him a star in the making. He was. And with every play, I fell more in love with the guy who had already changed my world. At halftime, Nero's team was up by 12. The announcers said that Nero had broken the record for most yards run in a half. I was so proud of him that my heart hurt. I could have cried just thinking about it. When the second half started, Nero picked up where he left off. Spinning, diving, dodging, he was practically dancing on the field. No one could stop him. By the end, the announcers said that he had shattered every record in college football history. So when they cut to a post-game interview with him, I had to wipe the tears from my cheeks. Nero Roman, you just broke the NCAA records for yards run, connected passes, and touchdowns in a game. And you did it as a freshman. Your name will be cemented in college football history as one of the greatest ever. I have to ask, what inspired this performance? Nero looked at the woman interviewing him with a light in his eyes. It was like he had been waiting for this moment.
Love. Love inspired this.
Your love for football?
No, he said with a smile. Football is great, but I told someone that I would come out here and do everything I could to win this game for them. So I did. Kendall, everything I did for you. I know you think we shouldn't be together, but I want you to know that I'm going to do anything and run through any line I have to be with you. Because you make me better. You make me want to be better. And when I get you back in my life, you're going to make me the happiest person on the planet. I love you, Kendall. I have from the first moment I saw you. And nothing anyone will do or say will ever change that, he said, his eyes tearing up as he stared into the camera at me.
Well, there you have it, Frank. A historic game by a freshman, all done not for the love of the game, but the love of a girl. Back to you. Nero reached over and pulled the microphone back to him, cutting her off.
Kendall's a guy. The person I won this game for is a guy. I just wanted everyone to know that. And I could never love anyone more.
The interviewer looked at him dumbstruck. It took a moment before she turned back to the camera and said,
"There you have it. A game won for love. None of us have ever seen anything like it. Back to you, Frank."
I stared at the TV, stunned. I was speechless. It took a moment to realize that tears were rolling down my cheeks. Looking around, I wasn't alone. The only one not crying was Cage. He was smiling and looking at me like he knew something I didn't. That was when he got up, walked to the door, and opened it.
"Now for my surprise,"
Cage said, revealing Nero standing in the doorway with a bouquet of roses.
"Nero, you're here,"
I said, springing to my feet.
"I heard you were going to be at game night. I couldn't stay away," he said with a smile.
My heart melted. I couldn't speak. Nero stepped into the room. With him standing in front of me, everyone stared at us.
"I bought these for you," he said, handing me the beautiful flowers.
This did not help my crying.
"But you're the one who won the game. Shouldn't I be giving you flowers?" "Maybe if this was about the game, but it isn't."
"What is this about?"
"Did you hear what I said in my interview after the game?"
I tightened my lips and nodded nervously. Nero opened his mouth to speak and then looked around at everyone.
You think we could have some privacy?
Sure, bro, Cage told him.
Why don't we go grab some ice cream?
He said to everyone else in the room.
You want us to bring any back?
Nero turned to me, gazing into my eyes. I was mesmerized.
We'll bring some back,
Cage confirmed before heading out and leaving us alone. With everyone gone, Nero took my hand and led me to the couch. Turning off the TV, he rested my roses on the table and took both of my hands in his.
I meant what I said, Kendall. No one has ever done more for me than you have. You arranged for everyone in my life to find me and tell me how much I mean to them? Who does that? You are the most incredible guy I've ever met. I would be a fool if I didn't do everything I could to have you in my life.
I opened my mouth to speak, but he cut me off.
And I know what you're gonna say. You think that the only way you can help me is by keeping things professional between us. But if I have to choose between having a football career and you, I choose you. If it's between millions of dollars and you, I choose you. There's nothing I would choose over you. And if you just gave us a chance, I promise, I'll never let you regret it. I'll work every day to make you as happy as you've already made me. And I don't care what anyone thinks about us or says. I love you. I will always love you. I want to be with you. And I'm standing here hoping to God that you'll say yes.
I stared at him. I could only say one word. Yes.
Yes, you'll be with me? He asked, his face beaming.
Yes, I love you. Yes to all of it, I said, needing him.
I can't believe it.
That was when I kissed him. The feeling of his lips on mine turned my brain into melted caramel. My head spun. I needed to be a part of him. And, as if reading my thoughts, Nero gripped the back of my head and parted my lips. Our tongues danced together. It was crackling flashbulbs. I was happy for the first time. Warmth wafted through me, but I wanted more. So, when he slipped his hand under my shirt and found my flesh, I moaned with pleasure. Driven by my yearning desires, Nero stripped my chest bare. Pushing me back onto the couch, he took control. Pinning my wrists above me, he turned my chin and nibbled on my ear. I could barely breathe from the sensation. His thick tongue touched my canal. It electrified me. I could hear every sound of him. It was driving me wild. My chest was heaving. I couldn't stop it. So, when he kissed down my body, pausing on my nipple, my legs danced, begging for more. With his hands now gripping the back of my arms, he took my nip in his teeth. I was as sensitive as fuck, and he was biting it. It hurt, but the pleasure of it made me purr. Finally, when he locked his jaw, not seeming like he would let go, I struggled against his powerful grip. Only then did he continue his trail of kisses down my body. I felt the pleasure of relief. The world around me was cold. His lips were warm. I could feel the tip of his nose and his breath. That was hot. His heat enveloped me further, robbing me of my will. So, when he reached the waist of my pants and teased releasing my button, I wanted him so badly I could snap. Rubbing his angular cheeks against my hard cock, he teased me. I tensed, unable to do anything else. He pushed back on it, telling me he was there. I wanted more than that, though. So, when he undid my pants, I ached to feel his flesh on mine. With him quickly stripping me naked, I didn't have to wait long. Looking up at him, I felt vulnerable as he examined me. He was looking at me like I was his. His look was right. I was willing to do anything he wanted me to. Standing next to the couch, he removed his shirt. Nero had the chest of a god. His rounded pecs quivered, and his rippling abs glistened. His arms were brick houses, and his shoulders were broader than any bridge. I couldn't believe that this guy was mine. He was the most beautiful person I had ever seen. And when I saw the outline of what crossed the length of his pants, I swallowed. He was about to dominate me with it, and I wanted him to. I wanted to take all of him until he had nothing left to give. So, when he unbuttoned his pants and climbed between my legs, my cock danced. He was taking me in his mouth like he once had. His insides were a furnace. I burned for him. With him gently massaging my balls, his tongue rode the lines of my dick. Tracing it up, he continued onto the ridge of my head. I could barely contain myself as he did it. I had never felt more sensitive in my life. I could only stand it for a few seconds before I reached down, gripping his shaggy blonde hair. He must have known I was ready to blow. That was when he released my cock and grabbed the back of my thighs. Folding my hairless legs onto my chest, his tongue pushed between my cheeks. Pressing against my button, he forced himself in me. It felt glorious. He was only preparing me, though. And when he slathered something onto me that made my hole open, he took his place on top of me, leaning down, kissing me. It was as he nibbled on my bottom lip that I felt the tip of his cock pushing into me. I had remembered how big he was, but I had forgotten how it felt entering. As much as I stretched, I needed to stretch more. I groaned and twitched, feeling his girth. When my opening snapped around his head, it was a mercy as much as it was a gift. It was electric. I looked up, desperately catching my breath. He gave me my moment to breathe. When he began again, I was ready. "Ah!" I moaned as I swallowed the full length of him. In every way, he was a god. Beneath him, I was a pig spinning on his oversized spit. And when he reached the end of me and slowly pulled himself back, my toes stretched, knowing what to expect. Fucking gently to start, it didn't take long until he was riding me like a bronco. It felt fantastic. My chin pointed to the sky, needing even more of him. And when he took hold of my cock and stroked me as he fucked, I grabbed his back and rode him to orgasm. "Yeah!" I screamed as a powerful sensation ripped up my inner thigh and tore through my balls. Nero thrust forward as both of us exploded. I was coming all over the place. Nero's cum filled me. Pinned to the couch, I felt like the flinching would never stop. As if my finger was in a socket, the slightest movement sent me twitching again. Nero didn't seem much better. He looked as scared to move as I was for him to do it. Nero had given me all of the greatest things in my life, and this night turned out to be another of them. Still catching my breath, I looked up, searching for his eyes. I found them looking down at me. "I love you," he said before I got the chance. "I love you too," I told him, meaning it with every part of my being. With those words, my teeth-rattling spasms stopped. He was able to slip his still hard cock out of me and allow my legs to fall. I was expecting him to lie on top of me, but as if I was weightless, he picked me up, switched places, and rested me on his chest. There was nowhere in the world I would rather have been. Nero was my home. He was my protector. I was willing to do anything I had to keep him, and I knew he would do the same. I loved Nero with everything I had in me, and I knew I was going to love him until my dying day. Sure, we were destined to have some rough patches, especially with him coming out right before the NFL draft, but there was no question about it. In the end, the two of us were going to live happily ever after.